This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
But across from me is my thought partner. Across from me is my rotten soldier, my sweet cheese. It's JP. What's up, buddy?
You're also, I would say, an incredible thought partner.
This whole time, you know, like Dust and I, good friends. We weren't thought partners. Any of my other hosts, we were not thought partners. You and I, we are partners in thought.
If we use that the way that Andrew Barry used it today, that might be an insult. I might take that as an insult, if we're being honest about it. That was the weirdest way of putting that he possibly could have come up with.
No, that's exactly how. And it's funny because the big takeaway from Andrew Barry's press conference, and by the way, the Cavs going for a record tonight. We're going to get into that, right? We've got plenty to come from the playoff rankings in college football that we'll get to. But Andrew Barry, his press conference today, hanging in the Louvre, just, it is a work of art. And everybody's takeaway is he said nothing. And I actually disagree with you. He said some things. Some of them are gobbledygook. Some of them meant nothing. And others, kind of just told you where he's at in the grand cosmos of things.
Well, like 97% of it was pretty awful.
Yeah.
97%, but then 3%. That's what we're going to spend the next 5 hours on, Nick.
Yeah.
And 3% of goodness.
And here's the thing. You made the point that, like, because I think people were mad. He didn't say anything. I think that was kind of the point today. I think you made that point in our pre-show.
Yeah, that was the goal. He accomplished the goal. It was much different than last year when he opened up with a 10-minute diatribe before he could even let the questions pour in an interview process that lasted an hour. Like, a much different tune this year.
Yeah, and we're actually going to start. This was the tone setter for today, was his opening statement and talking. He used the D word, disappointment.
Enter the bye week at 2-7. It's obviously a disappointment, and you know, we haven't played well enough. We haven't done the things that are needed to achieve consistent results and consistent wins throughout the season. It's disappointing for us internally, disappointing for our fans, and all of us sharing the record. You know, it's not just our players and coaches. It's myself. It's our personnel staff. It's our research group. And our focus really this week is on doing the things that are within our control to play quality football through the last 8 weeks of the regular season, because we have not done that to date.
Well, I mean, they're disappointed. I guess I should just stop being mad. I mean, if they share in our disappointment, I guess we're good. I mean, hey.
Just wipes it all away. Everyone's disappointed.
They share in the record. Well, that changes things.
Hey, but he acknowledged this was not good enough.
Well, and he acknowledged. I think he acknowledged
Thank
that
you.
The fans are disappointed. Which is good, because that tells us that he's at the stadium on Sundays and he hears the disappointment.
It's like setting a house on fire and then turning to the homeowners and being like, "Hey, listen, I'm just as mad as you that this is going down this way. Like, this did not go the way that I wanted to either."
Well, and then when you go, when you're the homeowner and you go, "Okay, but why did you set my house on fire?" Then you would go, I'm not at a point of reflection.
We're not there yet. I don't do that right now.
Okay, so you're disappointed and you share in that record. This is a failure. There's a disappointment. You never use the word failure. You would never do that, because then that opens up another box there. But then the real work of art is saying we're disappointed. You know, this is our record and this is not where we expected to be. Okay, why? We'll tell you later.
That's really all it was, though. That's all it was. And I want to kill him in many respects. Like, I just want to be like, this was the worst thing you could have possibly done. I didn't get angry during it. And did you get angry during
it? Oh, yeah. Yeah. But I think it was just, finally just like, oh, you're going to do that.
Okay, because I hit that maybe like 30 seconds into it. I said, okay. Okay, that's what we're going to get today. Okay, all right, that's fine.
Because I'll be honest with you, I felt like this is the most Kevin Stefanski Andrew Barry's ever been.
Yeah.
Like, you and I talked about this a little bit earlier, and I think you and I see this differently, because I think you just think, And you think of Andrew and Kevin in the same league?
I do.
In terms of press conferences?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
For me, I think back to that 10-minute diatribe and passion and, you know, they might maybe owning small things about why their record was where their record was going into the bye. And all I heard was a guy that I think was maybe setting some things up about the final eight games of the season. But, like, even when he was asked about the final eight games of the season, well, we just got to see how it plays out. Okay. All right.
Yeah. And then,
whatever you do, don't ask about the final, don't about anything that happens January on. All right. About those final eight games. We'll see.
When I was trying to think of, like, monumental lines that Andrew Berry had in previous press conferences, and I did remember last January where he put Patrick Mahomes' name on it, which is a rarity. They don't put other quarterbacks' names in these type of things. Like, well, we're trying to chase down Patrick Mahomes. We're trying to be the Chiefs. Yeah. And I think that was one of the more memorable things that he did. He stopped short of doing basically anything memorable today.
So he was just Goodell today, right? He was just a meat shield.
Yeah. That was the job.
Yeah.
That was the job. And then also told us that at the end of the season, he's willing to address a lot more questions. So at the end of the season, he better address all of those questions.
Yeah, but he won't. I think that's what has Browns fans mad, is it's
just kicking the can down the road.
Listen, I'll tell you, if you just simmer down.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you in January. And then in January, I'm not going to go into that. I don't think that's appropriate.
Hey, might be out of a job by that point. Might not even have to answer for those.
That's true. And then he'll be on the media tour that you go on to try and get your next job.
I don't know that he will. I don't know that he will because I think he hates this stuff so much.
What do you mean, the PRs? No, I think he loves being a GM.
Oh, I think he loves being a GM. Yeah. I think he hates being like the stand in front of the media and then tell the media what his thoughts are and why he made a decision and why he did all. And let's be honest about it. Life's a lot more fun if you never have to take responsibility for anything. If you just get to just make any decision you want and never have a reason for why you do it or never have to back any reason for why you do it, it's a lot easier.
Well, yeah, but that's why I think he'll love the media tour, because in the media tour, he can say very little about, he can count the success that he had here. And then also talk about other people's failures.
You think one day we'll eventually hear how the Deshaun Watson decision came down? Because in those media tours, you can't just say, well, it was a collaborative decision like he did again today.
At some point,
you got to actually answer the question.
No, we'll never know. It lies with Jimmy Hoffa.
That's what's lying with Jimmy Hoffa.
I'll tell you right now. I'm going to tell you right now who's going to spill the beans of the Deshaun trade.
Stefanski doesn't love doing this stuff either. Yep. Barry doesn't love doing this stuff. Nope. It's got to come. Who's it coming from?
Exactly who you think it's going to be.
Di Podesta?
It's going to be Jimmy Haslam.
It can't be Haslam.
I guarantee. No,
Haslam still owns the team. It can't be him.
Well, no.
Unless he just puts it on it and says that was Andrew Barry.
I think that's what's going to happen.
I fired him, and now I'm going to just bust Dawson,
yes,
too? And I know he hates doing the media.
Baker.
I know he hates doing the media, so I'm just not even going to... He's never going to be able to defend himself.
So I don't think it's going to be that, like, Jimmy says candidly, I loved Baker, and it wasn't my idea to do the Deshaun thing. I had to be talked into it. But will there be league sources? Oh, there will be league sources.
Man, the genius side of what Jimmy Haslam has done here is he's hired a whole group of people that collectively, I can't find one of them between Stefanski, Barry, or Di Podesta that'll ever be on the Booyah Network chopping it up, talking about different things before a pregame or anything like that.
I can see J-Dub doing it.
Like Stefanski's never going to be on with Shannon Sharp, okay? Not going to happen.
I can see J.W. Johnson being on there. I mean that in a good way.
How do we get to J.W. Johnson?
Well, no, because I was thinking people in the organization, right? So he's not Jimmy. This sounds like I'm taking a shot.
It's a compliment.
I think, like, one of my favorite things about J.W. is he does say things. Like,
although his response to the Texans game was it was a bad day to have a bad day. But outside of that.
Yeah, I think he kind of was right on that, by the way.
It's not what I wanted to hear.
Like, look what you've done to me, Andrew Barry. You have me agreeing with millionaires and billionaires.
It was a bad day to have a bad day.
Well, I will say, we have gone this whole time without commending the Cleveland Browns media troop, who today decided to just play it straight. There were so many questions today that I was just like, you get a king.
Gloves were off today.
Like, Andrew, I said Andrew Jackson, different guy. Zach Jackson saying, are you happy with your drafting or something to that effect? To Andrew Berry, it was like, okay, now Shadell's question about Deshaun. You know what? Why don't we play Jeff Shadell's question to Andrew about restructuring the Watson contract at the beginning of this season? because there is some great Shedell in here.
Yeah, he is playing, and this is not a second guess. I want to be educated. why did you push that Deshaun money back?
But just pause it real quick, This is exactly how I try and avoid every fight I've ever had with my wife.
I'm just trying to be educated.
I'm just trying to understand how you arrived at this conclusion.
I think it's...
There's no judgment.
Yeah.
There's no... I'm not second guessing. I would never second guess you. Me, dummy. You, smarty. Could just give me a little insight into that. Now, it always leads to a fight with my wife. But my point is, I've absolutely played the I just want to understand card. And it never goes well, but I get an A for effort, right? Is that not just amazing Shedelling?
We're going to use it in that way?
Yes.
Shedelling?
Yeah.
You know I'm a big Jeff Shedell at a press conference guy. I always
yes.
have been.
Yeah.
I think he just throws dynamite in the mix. And
I
just,
love
it's awesome.
It. Like, honestly, I just want to listen to... You know what? Let's finish off the clip, though, if we can.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
You were under the cap, you know what I'm saying? So, can you explain that?
It's a great question, Jeff. I think you know me well enough that I don't talk about those issues. You know, in this setting, I do understand that it's an authentic question and it's a good one. I just I have a longstanding policy where I don't talk about contractual matters in this setting.
The longstanding policy, Nick.
Nobody knew.
I want to make it sure I have a longstanding policy on answering at any point if Andrew Berry is going to be fired or not. As a radio host, if I say I have a longstanding policy, that means you can't ask me about it, right? It's a policy that I created, and it's longstanding, so we're well aware of it.
I have a longstanding policy of not telling my doctor how much I weigh.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter how hard he asks or what.
Yeah, no.
You know, it might save your life. Who knows?
No. The point is,
that's
between a man and himself.
I want to create as many longstanding policies as I possibly can.
Honestly.
It's just a longstanding policy. I don't answer that question. I don't go down that road.
So honestly, think about how much less trouble we could get in with, like, management comes to us. Did you guys really say this on air? I have a long-standing policy of not talking about the things I've said on air.
Yeah.
I think it's best to avoid it, but I love the question.
Hey, what do we think about...
I respect the question.
What do we think about Darius Garland? You know I have a long-standing policy. When it comes to Darius, I just don't talk about him. That's it. I refuse to talk about him. It's the policy. I can't do anything about it. It's the policy, Nick.
Nick, we've heard that you said nice things about Deshaun Watson earlier this season, post the Raiders game. You said that it was the best game of the season and it might be leading somewhere. I have a policy of not discussing Deshaun Watson's games and performances on air. But I get the question. Boy, I mean, what a great question that was. But I have a longstanding policy.
It fits. It fits.
But no, I thought the Browns media today was great.
Well, and so I know it's a great group of media members, obviously, and they always ask hard questions. They always ask tough questions. I thought the gloves were off today.
Yeah.
And when the gloves are off in a media group, typically that means they don't believe that the GM is long for the job. When you go for the gusto there, you are not really... Think about all the people that have to, like, protect their sources. They have to make sure that they don't make the person that they want info from mad. All these type of things. Because they deal with these guys every single day. When you ask those type of questions, the gloves are off.
Gloves are off. So I actually think this is where we can put a bow on the whole thing. Because I think you're right. I think you are right that it was... And I also think, by the way, there is some disgust. I think we always make it like the fans are the only one disgusted by what's happened the last 3 years. No, I think if you talk to any media member who've been very respectful with this entire process, I think there should be some obvious disgust at, led here?
They're every day for the next 3 months is just watching bad football.
Well, and
meaningless football.
Not just that. They're on the front lines, and they're getting people, you know, anytime they tried to speak truth about the Deshaun situation or anything else, they take the brunt of it,
for sure.
Like, you know, in a way, the media becomes a meat shield for your bad decisions as well. But I also think, like, you know, I think you're right to say Andrew's never been the most verbose guy and the most giving guy externally. But when I saw the two of them, Kevin was just straight cliches and has been, still is. Andrew was always the guy that shaped it in a way where it felt like you got a kernel of something and a fair amount of answers. Today, that's as full Stefanski as you can go.
Yeah.
And I think that was clenching time. Like, we have to do this. We've set the precedence that this is when I speak, which is going into the bye, coming off the bye. We've set this precedence. If I don't do it, it's going to make people think something's amiss, which that's a smart play to do. But I'm just going to kind of answer in cliches because I know I don't want to step on a landmine. There's a few things he was verbose about, but I think when you hear a guy that's clenching that hard with a lot of his answers, I do think that's a tell.
It was hardly the hour that he did last year, where he basically invited everyone to have cookies, coffee, and hang out like it was story time with Andrew Barry.
And man, did it piss some people off. I was one of them.
Should.
I really was.
Like, it should.
I think because I do think, like, and this is where...
I mean, I don't know what you expected, honestly. I don't know what you expected.
And that's fair. I think a fair retort to any kind of rundown of Andrew and what he said today is, well, he's not going to come out and be like, guys, I got to be honest with you. I did it.
Right.
I traded for Deshaun.
He's damned if he does, damned if he doesn't. I mean, he's playing a losing hand today. Can we admit that? He's playing a losing hand.
Yeah, he is. And I think that's totally fair to say. I would also say that leadership is sometimes, you don't have to say you were behind the Deshaun trade, but there's a lot of, it's almost like, what do you expect him to say? Just not that.
is that literally anything but that.
I feel like the bar's pretty low. Just, okay, what you did, take that, throw it out, and even 5% better, and maybe fans... There's always going to be a segment of fan bases that lose their mind.
I think he was playing a losing hand. I think there was nothing he could have said today that would have just resonated with anyone. But there's nothing you can say when you're a 2-7 football team, and there's a reason why we're talking about the media having the gloves off, because he might not have his job at the end of the season.
I just hate giving people who are paid a lot of money, who do a job that anyone would want to do, just being in the cliche business. Like, leadership is not that hard. And I know that, like, I'm sure the internal leadership is different than the external leadership. Still not great. 216-474-0092. Andrew Barrett, what'd you make of the press conference today? We got a loaded show today. Mark Ross, NFL Network analyst at 3. Ross Tucker, Odyssey NFL insider at 4. Thomas Dimitriov, former NFL GM, president of Sumer Sports at 5:20. Daryl Ryder at 6. We got Bandwagons at 6:20 with Macaroni Bologna. But as we get started... One of the few things Andrew Barry didn't run from earlier today, next on 92.3 The Fan.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.